ser ético, isto é uma crença.
É uma religião muito grande.
A visão é um culto.
É coragem, que é liberdade, que é crer, que é vontade, que é o caráter das pessoas.
Calma de quem é grande, maior que os maiores.
É uma paixão com a explicação.
Eu não consigo explicar o que é ser do Benfica. Eu sinto o que é ser do Benfica.
É de facto uma paixão. E as paixões são assim, vivem-se assim intensamente.
Aqui não há nenhuma razão. É paixão, paixão, paixão.
Ser Benfica. Até à morte.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 297 tonight. Here we are ahead of an international break. Usually we don't do this, but since we had the big Clásico, and of course the result was favorable, here we are. With me tonight, Cristiano Oliveira, as always. Cristiano, diz olá aos senhores.
Olá, senhores e senhoras.
And Dave de Oliveira, no relations, up in the Great White North. And how are you, Dave?
I'm not too bad, but I was fooled once again this weekend with Rui Vitória pulling a fast one on us again.
Yeah.
For good reasons this time.
Cristiano got out of wearing the mankini, but didn't get out of having to go on Twitter. So welcome to Twitter. And I told you, I warned you. So don't come and complain to me.
Man, there was never a doubt. In my mind that I was never going to wear that mankini, just to get that out there. There's no way in hell.
Stranger things have happened.
Obviously, I've been right. So, no way in hell somebody was crazy enough to pay that type of money for Varela. As far as Dave being on Twitter, welcome, my friend. I'm not sure you're going to be too thrilled about it in the next couple of weeks, but as of right now, the honeymoon period, it's very nice. So welcome.
No, the Twitter Benfiquista family is very nice. It's full of very nice and kind and wonderful people that care about the club, that like the banter. You know, we love them all. 20 games later, the 20th time was a charm.
The 20th time was the charm. And about freaking time. And you know, I want to take all the credit for it because on last week's pod, I think I mentioned it like 12 times repeatedly over and over. 0 for 19. And so, you know, he finally cracked that egg. And so couldn't be happier, man. Could not be happier about the result. Could not be happier about the way things went. Could not be happier about the crowd. It was just a fantastic Sunday. Our rivals, our other main rivals lost and tied. It was a perfect Sunday. So
it was good.
Very happy for Rui Vitória to finally get on the winning side of things here against Futebol Clube do Porto. I don't know Benfica that wasn't happy about what just transpired on Sunday. Phenomenal result. Benfica came out finally at home. To prove that they, you know, this is my home territory. You got to respect this. I mean, Benfica had the better of the game. Porto did a tremendous job of applying pressure. They you know, pressed very high. Benfica was able to move the ball around, control the ball. There's a lot of turnovers and mistakes, but nonetheless, it's a typical classical game from two big sides. And the one thing I did like to see, as I mentioned before, Benfica controlled most of the play. And that's one thing I enjoy finally to see a performance like that at the start of the lose against Futebol Clube do Porto. I could not be happier.
Yeah, and Dave's got some stats here on Seferovic and Pizzi. You want to talk through that, Dave?
Yeah, so that's Seferovic's 10th goal in his Benfica career, and it's his first goal at the Stade de Luz since September 12th of last season, when he scored against CSKA Moscow in the Champions League. So he's getting a lot of his goals on the road for Benfica these last two seasons. And Pizzi this year in 7 games in the league has 4 goals and 4 assists.
And look, you gotta tip your cap to Seferovic, a guy that was pretty much on the outside looking in. Talking about preseason, didn't get to see a minute on the pitch. Was pretty much told that he was surplus. They did not count on him.
Well, I don't know if he was ever told that, but certainly he had that feeling, right?
He was told to pack his bags.
And, he was told that?
He was told to pack his bags. Okay. And unfortunately, well, fortunately for him, Jonah's situation hurt his back. Then there was obviously all the reports that he was leaving. Castillo gets hurt. Everybody gets hurt. Now, all of a sudden, he gets thrown into the fire. And look, to his credit, he's never stopped believing. He's never stopped working. And he grabbed his opportunities. Like I like to say on a podcast, when you get an opportunity, grab by the horns. And that's exactly what he did.
Caval.
Exactly. Caval passou a porta. And he jumped on and he hasn't let go ever since.
Yeah. If you recall, not one single minute during the preseason for Seferovic. So obviously, yes, he was, He was not a guy that was on top of Rui Vitória's choices, for sure, but he stuck with it. And as Cristiano mentioned, when you get the opportunity, you work hard for those opportunities, because when it comes knocking, you better be prepared. And he's been prepared and he's been rewarded. But the thing that I want to point out, he almost broke both of his kneecaps with that celebration, tore a couple pieces of grass off the field. The grass wasn't as moist and as wet as he thought, and he just got caught on the grass and just lifted up a couple divots.
Hey, at that point, for me, in my eyes, his job was done. He put the ball in the back of the net. So if he had to come out with an injured knee, I wouldn't have minded. So as long as he put that in the back of the net, because he did miss a sitter, even though it turned out to be offsides.
Yeah.
And late first half, 42nd minute, I believe it. So
on a one-on-one.
One-on-one with Casillas, and he bangs it wide. That had it gone in, it still would have been called back. But look, again, he's worked hard and he's taken advantage of the opportunities, and it's good to see, man. It's good to see. Benfica has a lot of quality on the bench. I know Castillo mentioned this week that practices at Benfica are hard, and he's waiting for his opportunity pretty much. And we all know Jonas is back healthy. We know that dude's a killer. So to see Castillo get the nod from Rui Vitória ahead of such talented players week in, week out, you know he's doing something right.
But Almeida's always done well against Brahimi.
Hey, no, talking about Almeida, it's funny that Benfica got a positive result here. They won the game in a big Clásico, big win against a rival at home. I didn't see nobody crying about the armband this weekend. I just wanted to point that out. Just
well, you know, it can never be what have you done for me lately, right? You got to look at things in perspective of a totality of performances. And yes, Almeida hasn't had the best past couple games. He hasn't done the best, but he's a guy that he provides some consistency, and he did well for this game. So nobody crying about Almeida's performance. And I thought that Benfica were pretty solid. I thought that we should have created more chances, but just the game in general. And Dave, I was looking at some of those, that goal point article that you sent me. Just such an atypical game. Or a classical with a lot of fouls, a lot of balls that were just hit long. Both teams not playing the best kind of football, and very typical for teams that are supposed to be on a much higher level because of the talent that they have on the field. But nonetheless, it's always a classic. Was a classic. It's always tight. It's always there's some nerves involved. There's some hesitation involved, and I understand how things could turn out at the end. But nonetheless, 3 points for Benfica, major 3 points for Benfica, because what this does also is that in case of a tiebreak, this is the first tiebreak.
It's head-to-head
between the two teams.
There's still one more game to go.
Yeah, there's one more game, but Benfica now holds the advantage. So if Benfica goes up to the Dragão,
draw 10-10, yeah, they got the 1-0 win at home. Yeah. So obviously they have the upper hand.
Absolutely right. We were talking about how both the Benfica and Porto team kind of mirror the personality of their coaches. And the Rui Vitória presser before the game was somewhat
He had fire in him.
He was asked about his record against Porto.
And he defended himself.
He was ready. My man was ready like Dave. He had stats galore to defend himself.
Ele já estava tudo controlado. The reporters had the questions and he had the answers prepared prior.
O gajo tinha aquela coisa toda. He had memorized it. He had memorized it. You know how many games Porto had played at the Dragão since Estádio da Luz 15-year history. He had known how many times Benfica had been in the Champions
League. My man very prepared, and he had all the ammo, everything.
He was ready, man.
And look, to his credit, the team came out to play and they finally played a game at Benfica at home. It wasn't the most dominating performance by any stretch of the imagination, but it's still a game that Benfica controlled most of the game. They controlled the rhythm and pace of the game. And that's all I wanted to see from a Benfica against a Futebol Clube do Porto. We haven't seen that in a very long time, where Benfica controlled how things went.
Dave, you might as well update us on what Vitória's record is now against Porto, please.
1 win, 7 draws, 12 losses.
Okay, there you go.
That's the stat of the week.
Just ask Dave on Twitter.
Dave, what do you think?
No, on Twitter. I said just ask in the 2 weeks. So as it comes closer, ask Dave.
Dave can give us some stats on Twitter, you think?
Yeah, there we go.
Dave, you think that people are just going to naturally look for you to put some stats on Twitter?
I don't know what they'll love more, me being Twitterless Dave or me being on Twitter. So throw that poll up there and we'll see what.
Dave, I got a good idea, man. I think that you shouldn't engage anyone on Twitter. All you should do is just put up stats. If anyone says anything to you, just put up a stat. You
can't put up stats because then we can't use them here on a podcast.
We just put a random stat. After the podcast, I'll put up stats.
Okay. How about that? Some random stats.
Yeah, Dave, like tonight, just whatever stats you put up for today's pod, just paste them. Copy and paste them on Twitter.
Yeah, like some random stats.
Be careful sending nudes, Dave, on Twitter.
Don't send nudes.
They go viral.
If you send nudes, make sure there's stats on the girl's body. Okay. Or your body, whatever.
Anyone that asks me about Benfica and Ajax, I tell them they're a very young team. Very good young players with a bunch of seasoned veterans sprinkled in there. And this is a team to be reckoned with here. I think they're going to give Benfica a lot of trouble. I do think Benfica has the quality to cause them trouble as well. But it's going to be one of those matchups that it's honestly, man, I know it sounds like a cop-out, but I'm being honest. It's one of those 50-50 matchups. I think both teams could win the games, and either team could come away with the 3 points, and either team could come out of this group alongside Bayern Munich.
Entramos com um desafio difícil esta época. O apuramento para a Liga dos Campeões, se não for e tal, nós, cheque, feito. Né? Depois, esses 4 jogos não contaram para nada do ponto de vista público. Não se ganha na Liga dos Campeões, ganhamos. Não se ganha ao Porto, cheque ao Porto.
Fantástico.
Menos um jogador que em Chaves já não sabia defender, agora sabe-se, ganhamos.
Fantástico. Cristiano Davis turned into a anti-Rui Vitória stat machine.
I don't think it's an anti-Rui Vitória stat machine. I just think he's pointing out facts. I mean, you ask him for stats, and that's what that's why he gets his paycheck from here, the Benfica podcast, is to come up with stats. And sometimes it's positive stats, sometimes it's negative stats. And
we gotta give him a chance, though. He hasn't had his chance in Europa League, so he's undefeated in Europa League action.
Good call, Dave. You're undefeated in Europa League. And Dave actually sent a spreadsheet-like table to our email with quite a few stats. And I thought you had nipped this from somebody, and I asked him. And actually, you took the time to create this. He's going to go ahead and share this on the Benfica Podcast Twitter for everybody to see. But, yeah. So, anyway.
Dave will soon find out the good side of Twitter.
Yeah.
Oh, I experienced it last week. I saw
you already experienced
back and forth.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Cristiano was going back and forth with somebody.
I don't know what you're talking about. No comment.
One of the many interactions that you have with our fans.
No comment.
So anyway, so Benfica drops the first 3 points of the season. We had a chance to leapfrog Braga and be in first place, and instead we end up in third place because Porto leapfrogged both Braga and Benfica, and Porto is now in first, albeit tied with Braga in points, and Benfica is in third.
Yeah, I mean, when you say hate or displeasure, I think it's a strong word. I don't think people hate Rui Vitória. I think they don't like his coaching. They don't like his coaching tendencies. They don't like his, the way he manages this team, the way he sets up this team. But I don't think it's anything about hate, Alfredo. I mean, I think that's too strong of a word. And as you mentioned with Steve and over the last couple of years, mm-hmm. we've all sat here. And I think at one point or another, we've all demonstrated, we've all shared our displeasure with the way things were going in spite of victories. I mean, a lot of people are blinded by the victories. They were excited that, we got the 3 points. And I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, that's what it's about. And when you're bringing home the Kanekwu and you're bringing home the trophy and winning the championship, you accept it. You roll with it. Okay, fine. I'm not happy about the way this team is playing. There's a lot of things that we don't approve of. But that being said, at the end of the day, who cares? It's about getting the 3 points. And that's what Benfica was doing. But we've seen a gradual decline over the last 3 years. take away his first year. You know, his record 88 points, and obviously he had a phenomenal year that year. He started off really bad, and then he was able to turn it around, and Benfica went on a tremendous streak and like 23 wins, one draw, one loss in the last 25 games, which was fantastic, and it was enough to nip Sporting at the end by 2 points to get the Caneco back and to tie the lose and take it away from Sporting. It would have been their first title with JJ there, and it would have been, you know, a big party all around town. Mm. So, you got to give Vitória credit for that year, even though we did see things that we didn't like, but we didn't see the football that we appreciate on a regular day. That being said, ever since that year, it's gradually gone downhill.
Yeah.
The team it seems like they're out of ideas. There is no movement off the ball. Only the guys on the ball are the ones actually moving. No one's making runs. It's gotten really sloppy. I don't know if it's because players got real comfortable with Rui Vitória and they've tuned him out, or it's just that he doesn't know better. And I mean, if you go back to 3 years ago or 4 years ago in his first year, I remember having these conversations like it was yesterday. I remember having this conversation with Steve and you. And I've told you all, Rui Vitória is a great man manager, but tactically he's missing a lot. And I've even suggested Benfica bring in a tactical genius, a guy that understands football in order to, like I've mentioned, a perfect example, Sir Alex Ferguson never won the big, you know, championship, which was the Champions League until Carlos Queiroz got by his side. And when Queiroz got by his side, football, they kind of picked up. And Alex Ferguson has admitted himself on multiple occasions that he became a better manager when Queiroz was by his side. And I think Rui Vitória needs that. But I don't know if the ego, I don't know if the people at the club don't admit to it, they don't want to accept it, but there's something wrong there. And it's just, unfortunately, right now, the team is not playing the caliber of football that we've all been accustomed to. They're not getting the points. And so people are showing their displeasure. I don't think it's anything personal against Rui Vitória. I think it's just that, bro, the results aren't there. So,
yeah. And one of the theories, and I kind of subscribe to this theory, is that the first year of Vitória, he took advantage of a lot of work that JJ had left. A lot of the routines, a lot of the automatisms that were in place. He took advantage of it. And David actually had sent some stats here to our WhatsApp group. In 2015-2016, Benfica scored 122 goals, an average of 2.34 goals per game. In 2016-2017 game season, 118 goals. So that's four less goals, an average of 2.18 per game. 17-18, 94, and that averages out to 2. And this season so far, 30 goals at average of 1.76. So definitely a decline in offensive production by Benfica. And we could also tell by the style that's been adopted that it's a very nonchalant, there's no urgency. Benfica often lays back and just waits for teams to come out to them rather than putting the game away. So we've seen a decline on the performance of the team since Rui Vitória has been at the helm. Of course, as Cristiano mentioned, when the results are there and championships are won, regardless of how poor you play and how you don't meet your expectations as far as the caliber of the team and the caliber of the players and what's expected for a team of this caliber to put out week in, week out. But if the team continues to win, mal e porcamente, people are going to go along.
Bro, I sat here week after week telling you that I wasn't happy with the way things are going, but I accepted it for what it was. Benfica was getting the 3 points, so I could be unhappy all I want. As long as they get the 3 points, you know, people are just going to look at me and act, you know, act like I'm a fool because I just keep bickering and bickering and bickering rather than being looking at things on a positive side. And now it's just it's gone way past that line. I think now that a lot of people starting to see it more for what I saw a long time ago. And it's unfortunate. I mean, the guy, look, he left by the field. You know what I mean? So you have to be extra kind to the guy.
If you're not sure of the value that you of your coach at end December, he just finished having the worst campaign in Champions League. Well, and now you put a guy in a situation where he has to win 4 games or has to win the best of 4 games in order to hit those 40 million in the Champions League when you are open to negotiating his exit, which means that you don't have 100% of trust in
him. So again, it's one of two things. They didn't want to pay a guy to sit at home, pay him whatever remaining 3 years at 1.5 mil, which is 4.5, whatever the hell it was, whatever his contract is, right? It's either they didn't want to pay him or They wanted him back.
They felt confident that he would be able to qualify the team.
But by bringing him back and by them telling you we felt confident, that spins the conversation in December into they approached us. And we would have been willing to let him go for 15 mil, but it wasn't us that initiated the contact. It wasn't us that was looking for you know, a place for Rui Vitória to go. We were just being open-minded.
Yeah.
Well, then they could sell me that. But obviously right now it's going to look that way because he's back.
Yeah.
He's back. He's still there. I mean, they brought him back. So right now it looks that way. But we don't know if the reason why they didn't get rid of him is because, again, as I said, they didn't want to pay him. I mean, there's so many ways you could go down this route because there's a lot. And again, I hate to do this. I hate to do it because I know people are going to be like, ah, here goes Chris again, bro. But here's what you got to look at, right? This situation, at least that conversation, forget what transpired after because obviously nothing transpired. But that conversation, us hearing that conversation between Cesar and Luis Vieira, right? It brings me back to the JJ days because we heard a lot of rumors. A lot of people were pissed off that JJ went to Sporting, and the rumor was they were trying to ship him, get rid of him to Qatar. Yeah. And so now it makes you kind of like, oh, snap, maybe they were right. And JJ said, I don't want to go. I want to stay in Portugal.
Yeah.
I mean, and now he is in Qatar or wherever the hell he's at now. But but I'm just saying, you know, is this something that Luis Vieira, he's always trying to push his guys out the door? Because now the people that defend JJ have ammunition to defend them. Like, look, here's another example. So they were right at the time. But even if they weren't, at least it leaves a doubt in your mind. It plants a seed in your mind to, like, you know, and again, I'm not trying to bring it back to JJ, but we see, is this the way that Luis Vieira is?
This team should be playing better. And I for all you guys that say, well, Rui Vitória this, Rui Vitória did that, Rui Vitória promoted youth. Yes. But here's what I'll ask everyone. With the quality of the players that we have and the depth in this squad, don't you feel, and I'm asking everyone out there, don't you feel that Benfica should be playing better, that Benfica should be winning games, that Benfica should be winning convincingly and steamrolling some of these little teams?
This is a topic for, like, you know, a round table. We need more guys here, right, just to have this conversation. But you mentioned Benfica's, you know, squad is deep.
Benfica has the best squad in the league.
I agree. And then you look at the rest, with the exception of Sporting, and even Porto. Porto lost players for free. You know, starting center back left. They're not as deep. Sporting lost players. The rest of the league lost. The Portuguese league, take away the big three. And even you could argue two of the three are weaker than they were last year. Benfica's definitely stronger than they were last year, but Porto and Sporting are weaker than they were last year.
There's a huge drop.
But then you go to the other teams. They vault the caliber player throughout the Portuguese league one through or three or four, I should say. Well, Braga's now five through what, 18, right?
Yeah.
The caliber player in Porto is no longer there because there's other leagues that are paying a lot more players. I mean, look, I'm not trying to you know, kick a man while he's down. But fact of the matter is, as I mentioned a million times, and I'll keep repeating it until the cows come home, which is Rui Vitória is a tremendous man manager. He is the type of guy that you want leading your Fortune 500 company. He has the right mentality. He's got class. He knows how to speak. It's very important when you're running a company to have a face of the company that represents the company with the utmost respect and oozes class out of them, because you need to portray that image to the rest of the world or to the investors and to whomever you know, might want to be partners with you. In the football world, that's terrific. That's awesome. You want that as well. But you want a guy, most importantly, you want an X's and O's guy. At the end of the day, I don't care if my coach is a douchebag. If he coaches the hell out of my team and my team plays football, you know, with their eyes closed, I don't give a crap. Look, I don't think anyone ever complained about JJ when he's looking at, what's his, Teddy Sheringham, whatever the hell his name was, or Sherwood, whatever, the manager from Tottenham, and he's giving them 3-0. Who cares? Benfica was winning games at the time, and it was about playing quality football. And I know that he has his flaws. Say what you want. Benfica should have two more titles. And bah, 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 bah. But look, say it was entertaining football. We watched. Benfica played very attractive football. And Rui Vitória has not once showed that he could coach or manage such soccer. He could manage football, I should say. He could manage teams in such a way. And so now when you start dropping points, Now it becomes a problem, bro. And I think it's only going to get worse from here unless Benfica goes on one of those runs like they went in the first year in 25 games, 23 wins, whatever, something like that. It's the only way, because I think the pressure is only going to get it's only going to get hotter around them. I think the situation is going to get hotter. And I think the Saucers, when we've seen it in Portuguese clubs, because Saucers run the clubs at the end of the day. They're the ones that show their displeasure or approve or whatever the situation is. And I think if this continues down the road, and the Saucers pressure, Luis Vieira's going to be left with no other choice.
Here's I'll leave you with this. And I know that I've said this tons of times here on the podcast, and I've said it on Twitter. To me, the way I see it is that at the point where Benfica was before JJ came along, Porto had gone through a long streak of winning championships. We needed somebody to break up their hegemony, however you say it, hegemony.
Hegemonia. I don't even know how to say it in Portuguese or English. So
you needed some. So we made a deal with JJ. JJ said it before he took over.
Hey,
that
Siri, what's hegemonia?
Hegemony is the political, economic, or military predominance or control of one state over others.
I don't think that was Sergio.
Yeah. Control over others.
Hegemonami.
Yeah. So the thing was that at that point, we needed a drastic change. JJ came in. He said, I'm going to make this team play the double of what they played. And at that time, we were able to get it. There were some struggles, but Benfica got back on top, started winning titles. We get tired of beating that same horse, but we have been beating it for quite some time now. We'll see what happens. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another edition of the Talking to the Doll Benfica podcast, episode number 300. Here we are on the big 300. On tonight's podcast, we have plenty to talk about, but let's start by introducing everyone. We got a surprise guest for you. You'll never guess it. But Cristiano is here, Cristiano Oliveira.
Hey, what's going on, Alfredo? Tremendously pleased to and honored to have been a part of some of these 300 episodes here on the Benfica podcast, and very happy to be a part. And hopefully, we'll do this for a little while longer.
Yeah, Dave de Oliveira up north, no relation.
No relation, but I'm still here another week. Thank you for having me on.
Another week. Does this sound like something we don't know?
He's in contract negotiations.
That's what for another week. Are you leaving?
If you want to bring it up, since I've joined Twitter, I think Benfica has been winless. So if we want to do contract negotiations, yeah, you could might be the start of the week right there.
Got to get out of Twitter again, Dave. That's it.
Yeah. And also on a great white north, up in the great white north, Steve Santos.
Surprise.
Surprise, surprise. Steve, you got a pass from your wife?
Yeah, I got a pass from my wife. I actually watched the game this week, or at least as much as I could stomach, and then I turned it off. But
that's
yeah.
Awesome. I think that right now people who are listening to this are very happy to finally hear your voice. Very rough couple of weeks, Cristiano, for Benfica. With
you want to dive in right into the deep sea. It was 300th episode. I mean, I thought you're gonna get all teary eyed over here. I was getting ready to get the guardanapos, sus tissues, but limpar las lágrimas, and tú vas luego jumping into the deep water.
Hey, I think it's something that's on everybody's mind. I think that people are bothered. You wouldn't be a Benfica fan if you weren't bothered by what's going on with Benfica. So it's something that we need to address. I think that more and more people are jumping on that Rui Vitória out wagon that they weren't there previously. Of course, Cristiano has also always mentioned here, winning cures a lot of things. And when you're not winning, now questions are being asked. But this is nothing new. I mean, we kind of saw the way this was going, the way Benfica had been playing. Sooner or later, we were going to hit a rough spell like this. But, so you want to get in? Well, let's get into it.
I didn't want to get into it.
Okay.
But now that you got the ball rolling, I mean, like... Guess we don't have another choice. I don't even know what to say, because I was planning on like playing a surprise from some.
Oh, you got
some
surprises.
Of our very dear friends to send us messages, but you decided.
All
to
right, let's
jump out of a cliff right into the deep end, and it's like, yo, now já te fugaste.
Então vamos lá, pode ser. Manda uma boia.
Agora não há boias.
Manda uma boia.
Agora não há boias. But listen, before we start, though, I just wanted to share some special messages for some of our friends, some who have been, you know, part of the pod at some point or not, and others who are just common friends of ours. And so I think it's very important to share this before we dive into the deep end, before we start really talking about the seriousness of what's going on at Benfica. And so I just want to go ahead and, you know, on our 300th episode, obviously,
Forza,
your idea, your baby that came up with this. So got a couple of people to send us a couple of messages. So here we go. This is from Serginho from Conversa Benfica.
Olá, boa noite. Alfredo, Cristiano, meu irmão, Dave, daqui Sérgio Engrácia, esse mesmo, o autêntico, o genuíno. Pá, estou a deixar este áudio para vos dar os parabéns pelo episódio número 300. É verdade, 300 episódios do Benfica Podcast. Um projeto pioneiro e ímpar na realidade benfiquista. Espero que saibam que tenho uma admiração profunda por vocês, a forma como vivem o clube, a forma como o discutem e a forma como o elevam para um patamar onde ele deve estar. Para mim é mesmo um grande privilégio poder fazer parte da vossa família. Numa altura conturbada do nosso clube, um amigo meu dizia-me em privado: o meu Benfica sou eu, és tu. E eu trouxe esta frase para isso mesmo, é que o Alfredo e o Cristiano fazem parte do meu Benfica. E a distância não apaga ou não desvanece essa ideia que eu tenho de vocês, que continuem por mais 300, mais 3 mil ou 300 mil programas, porque vocês fazem falta ao Benfica e são uma grande, grande companhia para mim todas as semanas. Um grande abraço com estima deste vosso amigo, Sérgio. Um beijinho a todos. See ya.
Very nice yeah. from our friend. We got some more now. We got the aforementioned Pedji, but just to answer, Sérgio, para 300 mil programas, para o Benfica Podcast não tem dinheiro para pagar. Moving on to Pedji now.
Congratulations, Alfie, on reaching 300 episodes with the Benfica Podcast. Big cheers to everyone, past and present, who has been part of the show. And cheers to the next 100. Carrega Benfica.
That's our friend Pedji. What would you like to call it? The Great White? It's not the Great White North. I mean, it's an Australian kangaroo.
The Great White South.
Kangaroo land. Now, this one I'm going to let you guess because I don't think you're going to guess this one. I think this one right here was particularly special because of the way he did it. So I'm going to let you guess. I mean, he's going to say his name, so you're going to know, but you get the drift.
Hey, guys. Nuno from Benfica FM here. 300 episodes. It's almost unreal if you think about it, and shows the level of commitment and love you guys have for Benfica. As you know, your show has always been an inspiration for us. Alfredo has helped us a lot in the beginning of our own project. And we need at least 300 more from you guys. Thank you for representing the Benfica community overseas. Your love and dedication to our club is truly amazing and an example for all of us. Congrats to all of you, Alfredo, Cristiano, Twitterless Dave, Steve, and keep them coming. Viva Benfica e vemos-nos pelo Megabar. Grande abraço.
Awesome.
Machina. I mean, awesome. I thought it was spectacular because, you know, we've had these conversations, Nuno and I, about coming on the pies. I get about meu English, and I thought his English is better than my Portuguese. So to me, I thought it was spectacular because he hit it out of the park. So now, last one but not least, our very good friend, Patrick Kendrick.
300 episódios, uma continuidade que a equipa do Rui Vitória que já não tem. 300 episodes. What a milestone that is. Absolutely fantastic achievement to all three of you and indeed everyone that's contributed along the way. I'm glad to have played my part in a very small way. Thank you for really getting me on board with Benfica. Whilst I was commentating the games in English, that was great, but it wasn't until I actually got involved with the podcast that I really understood just what a great club it is and more particularly just how fantastic the supporters are. And I'm very pleased to say that Alfredo and Cristiano have become very good friends since we all met via the podcast and via the wonderful world of Twitter. So congratulations, 300, as I said, is a massive milestone. Here's to 300 or nay, 3,000 more. Keep up the good work, guys. It's a real
commitment that you guys have. And I know it takes a lot of work, but the results are there for all to see. You only need to look at all the other English-speaking Benfica podcasts, which have sprouted offshoots. What would you call them? Spin-offs, I guess. In there. But there you go. Anyway, I'm rambling, as is my wont. But Forza Benfica. Hopefully, I'll be back in Lisbon sometime next year and we can all go to a game together. Big shout out to Pete, Dominican Republic, and of course, the Pedge as well, and Steve Santos. Cheers.
There you go. Very, very nice messages from everyone.
It's nothing new. I mean, it's just everything amplified. All the issues that we've had in the past are just amplified right now. And it's getting to the point where people are finally starting, not, I don't want to say finally starting to question, but are questioning Rui Vitória. You see a lot of comments basically pointing fingers out. He always talks about morals and how he's so um pai de filhos e isto e aquilo, mas sobre futebol fala pouco, and it shows. I mean, it is what it is. This Benfica team, I don't want to go out and say it, but it will only have success based on the failures of its rivals. So that's the way I feel.
And I've said here on the podcast time and time again, it's inadmissible that teams of that caliber, of that their championship is to fight to not be relegated, that are outplaying us during the 90 minutes, at any point during the 90 minutes. It's not acceptable. And I've been saying this time and time again, and regardless of the coach, that's not the mentality that Benfica should have. The Benfica should be basically rolling over these teams. And right now, the team doesn't look organized. It's not well coached. And we see the results now. It's been a decline. And look, I hate to beat on a dead horse. You guys know how we feel about Rui Vitória. But we were talking here offline, Cristiano and I were, and I was telling Cristiano how we're now in fifth place. And Cristiano, for as bad as he feels that we're in fifth place, he feels that it most likely it's going to take something drastic, and not that we're hoping for something drastic to happen, but Cristiano feels that it's going to take something this drastic for changes to take place. So, you know, we don't wish or losses on Benfica, or that Benfica does bad so Rui Vitória gets sacked. But the fact of the matter is that changes and things need to take place in order for us to change the way we're going. Fifth place, I know that we're 4 points behind the first place team, but we've already hosted Sporting at Estrela da Luz. We've already hosted Porto at Estrela da Luz. So the second round, we're going to need to go into those stadiums and play. And it's not going to be easy, especially if we continue to play the way we have been playing. This Rui Vitória situation is becoming unsustainable. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think there's a lot of signs there that things aren't where they should be. This team is not playing up to their abilities. And at some point, the hammer has to come down on somebody. And most of the time, it's the coach. He's the first one to go. It's a lot easier to get rid of one guy than it is to get rid of 23 to 25 men. But, you know, Benfica will have to, you know, dig deep, have to find it within themselves to put on a good performance against Ajax tomorrow. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But the results have not been good over the last three games, three consecutive defeats. Things just right now spiraling out of control. And at some point, if Benfica and Rui Vitória aren't able to get this on the right track, something's going to happen. And, you know, unfortunately for him, he's the guy on the chopping block. And there's reports that the decision has been made already that he's not, you know, he won't be staying long, that they're just looking for a replacement. And, you know,
Let me ask you this real quick, because I know that
don't poke the bear.
we've repeated time and time again that we think that that Rui Vitória has reached the end of the line for quite some time now. But let me ask you this: we saw Luizão sitting next to Luis Felipe Vieira during a game. I don't know if you had a chance to see that, but he was there. Mm-hmm. How much do you think of that Luizão now kind of being a consigliere, if you will, of Luis Felipe Vieira, and Luizão having the experience of being inside the locker room these past 3-4 years with Vitória? How much do you think Luizão is playing a part in convincing Luis Felipe Vieira that this is not working?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, how deep, or I should say, how close are Luizão and Luis Felipe Vieira to each other? Does Luis Felipe Vieira even listen to anyone else on these coaching decisions, or does he make them on his own? You know, and a lot of it has to do also with the relationship between Luizão and Rui Vitória. There's some rumors there at the end that things weren't, you know, as rosy as we expected them to be, or, you know, as we thought they were between Rui Vitória and Luizão. So, I mean, it's definitely interesting, but I just think, look, I think people are looking into that too much. I think Luis Felipe Vieira has his own people around him. He'll make the decision when he finds it fit to make the decision on the coach. I think Luizão is just doing his duty, which is, you know, the new, what do you call it, deputy, whatever. What's his new role?
Okay.
Luizão.
Sheriff.
He's the new ambassador, whatever.
Is that what it is?
He's something
been
like
officially
that.
Named? The ambassador?
He's got a position, right?
Two games for Jardel, Cristiano. Two games for Jardel. So that means that what? Conte's in for the next two games? What do you think?
Yeah, most likely, unless he decides to give Lamela another shot. But I think it is Conte. It'll be Conte.
Lamela.
What's that guy's name again? It's not Lamela.
Lema.
That's it.
It was close. I'm tired. Lamela. It was close.
Same country.
But, same country. Both play the same position. No, one's a winger. I'm talking about the two striker. I'm lost. Whatever. You know what I mean? The two strikers.
Where are
two
we?
Center backs.
Episode 300.
Should I play Sejin's message again? Because that's the only thing I've hit on so far. Even that I got wrong the first time. I played Pedri. Today is just a bad day for me.
Yes.
A bit of insight. Between the red cards, between the red cards and the comment that Grimaldo makes after the game, where let me see if I remember it exactly, he says things have to change radically.
Yeah.
We had no responses. We couldn't create chances. There's a rift there.
There's
a problem. Where you want to point fingers, what the problem is, we could speculate a bunch of things. But there is definitely something there that it's not when you see papers saying, oh, that there's a problem between player A and player B, and they don't pass to each other, they don't celebrate together. I think between the frustration and that comment, I was like, there's something there, whether it's players that don't believe in one another, players that don't believe in the coach, don't believe in methods, whatever the case may be, there's an underlying feeling of discontent that I do not remember.
Yeah.
I don't remember feeling this way or noticing this type of thing until before we went on the Tetra run and Cardozo versus JJ.
Coaching changes. The papers have been alight with rumors. Sam TV actually said that Benfica has been talking to JJ since February of last year. And apparently, you know, there's some rumors that JJ might be back by Christmas time. I'm going to go before you go, Cristiano, because I already know where your position stands. I want to go on record here and say that I don't want to take any merits away from JJ. I thought he was a good coach for what he did. And I think that Cristiano, we were talking before, best coach or best coach we've had in the past 25 years that's put the team playing good football. But for me, I think that when a coach's time is over, it's over. The comeback is never the same. And personally, I would like to see somebody other than JJ. Cristiano has a different opinion.
My opinion is simple. I could just go based on, as I've stated many, 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 many times here on the podcast, based on what my eyes seen and what I've experienced in my lifetime, taking away the 80s, with tremendous teams, making some, Champions League finals runs, 87, 91, 83, Europa League and all, they had tremendous teams. But taking away those teams, he's simply done the best job with my club, and that was JJ. I thought, he did have some slip-ups. Obviously, not everyone is perfect. And it just seems that a lot of people aren't really, how do I put it? What's the way I want to put it? People aren't seeing it for what it is because they're blinded by their hatred for the fact that he left to the cross-town rival in Sporting, which is, granted, I understand. I mean, it's something I won't forgive him for. I won't forgive him, for doing. But that being said, I'm very thankful, very appreciative for what he did to my club in the 6 years that he was at the club. Yeah, things could have gotten better, but they could have gotten worse. And so I think this is a how do I put it? It's a love affair between he and Luis Felipe Vieira. I think it's one of those things, your girlfriend leaves, but your heart still desires her. You, no matter how many girls you get in the sack with, no matter what you do, you're just constantly thinking about that same girl over and over. And I think JJ is Luis Felipe Vieira's girl. I think it's his love. And I do think he's going to try to make it work. I mean, he's never once shied away from the fact that he still has a good relationship with the man. He's never once, turned down the rumor or any idea, the thought of JJ returning. He's never shot that down. He's always been, pretty open about his relationship with JJ. And I think he's looking back at those teams, at the tremendous football that they played under JJ. I mean, people forget the shows that they used to put on against the likes of, Juventus and all those teams. I mean, they played in a final. Yeah, they lost. They played in a final against Chelsea. They dominated that game. Very unfortunate to come away with the defeat. Went back against Sevilla, lost on some BS PKs by Beto. With another game that they played very well in, and Benfica could have won. I think a lot of people don't forgive JJ for the loss at the Dragão in the 92nd minute. They don't forget the loss in the UEFA Cup semifinals to Braga that then allowed Braga to go on and play Porto in the Europa League final. Porto got another European Cup. People aren't able to get over those things, but again, as I've stated before, even Mourinho has flaws. Everybody, Pep Guardiola has flaws. Every coach has flaws. You could pinpoint one game or one season on any of these coaches and say, yo, they could have done better. This could have been done, should have been done. At the end of the day, we have not seen anything close prior to JJ, close to what we saw under JJ prior to him or after him.
Given a preference, I would not like to see JJ back just because I feel like that cycle has come and gone. I feel like I know what could come from it, but I also know what won't come from it. You will not see João Félix play as often, I highly doubt. I'd like to see somebody, Bruno Lage, Renat Paiva, somebody who has an idea, a vision of what they want their football to be. And I've seen short interviews with the two of them, and they've spoken more about football in those short interviews than Rui Vitória has in all his press conferences, all his interviews since he's turned into Benfica coach. And it's just, I'm ready for a change.
Yeah,
where I'm going. I have a name that I would obviously love to have at the club because I really enjoy the way his teams play football, and I think he's got the right personality for the club.
Who's that?
Paul Fonseca. He was my number one choice when this all went down with JJ to begin with, but it was already difficult at that point. Yeah. So, but that's my ideal. I don't see it happening. I really, honestly, I think we're looking at an interim at this.
And that's the way I see it play out. I see Rui Vitória stepping down, whether he gets sacked or whether he steps down because the pressure is just too much, and he will put his position at the president's disposal. And then I see either Renato Paiva or Bruno Lage taking over in an interim level and get maybe a chance to see what they could do with this team in a limited time to see what they could do. So thanks a lot for everyone for checking us out and for keeping up with us and staying with us through thick and thin. Thank you very much. We'll see you again next week. See everybody.